We do rejoice together in the goodness of God. I rejoice again to be together to worship the Lord and appreciate Brother Ron's positive thoughts. It's amazing what God has done in his people's lives as we read through the Bible. But then I think of you people. Since I was here 7 years ago, all the steps, God has taken you through. All the answers to prayer, I'm thrilled. And let us continue to look to the Lord, and I trust you're encouraged in the Lord, and that he may carry you through. No problem's too big for God. God has answers, and we're thankful for that. Let's keep leaning on the Lord and looking to him. Recently, someone made a statement that kind of caught my attention. Someone said, meaning the devil, they said, "We face an awful enemy." And that kind of hit me. I thought, well, just a minute. We should put the enemy behind us. We should face God. Tremendous power, the sovereign God of all the earth. Let's look to him. Because I got thinking, what direction are you facing? So tonight we're going to think about, what direction are you facing? If you're facing the enemy, you're not facing God. Are you facing God or are you facing the enemy? What direction are you facing? If you're facing east, you're not facing west. If you're facing west, you're not facing east. If you're facing east, you can't see what's in the west. And that was kind of a scary thought to me. If we're facing the devil, we can't see God as we ought to. Let's face God so we can see his greatness and his power. So keep thinking, what direction are you facing? So I have six different scriptures that kind of go along the line of what direction are you facing. Six different scriptures. The first one's in Luke 9, verse 62, where Jesus warned the people, or warns us here about the danger of looking back. Luke 9, 62. What direction are you facing? Jesus said unto them, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God." I kind of understand that maybe that if you look back at your old sins, maybe you get pulled back. If you think back to the old things you were into, it might be a temptation to you. So is that what it means? Don't look. Leave it in the past. Don't look back. And so we've been forgiven. Thank God. Let's go on. Let's look to God. Let's look to the new ways of walking with God, not get dragged back to the old. Maybe there's old disappointments, old things that happen that are trials and difficulties. Don't focus on them because it might get you down. You might get bogged down. I kind of think that's what Jesus was teaching here. The old regrets and mistakes that even you have made, don't look back. Let's go on and do better and follow the Lord. Another scripture that might go along with this would be Philippians 3. It's Paul's testimony, which I marvel at quite a bit. It's amazing here. Philippians 3:13. Well-known thought here. Philippians 3:13, right in the middle of the verse, he said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into things which are before." Forgetting the things behind. When you look back in Paul's life, all the things he had done, it's amazing that he could say that. He had persecuted the Christians. He had taken them to jail and trial, had some of them put into death. And now he says, forgetting those things which are behind. How could he say that? I think because he felt that God had truly forgiven him. He had made a change. And so he was able to forgive himself and the regrets he would have had. He certainly would have had a lot of them. And he said, "I'm looking ahead, to go ahead." I think that's a good example for us. We have things in the past as well that have been forgiven. Let's leave them there. Let's look ahead like Paul did with courage to go on ahead. Another scripture I like is in Psalm 23, a familiar thought as well, kind of along the same line. Psalm 23, the last verse, verse 6. Psalm 23, 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It catches my attention here that he's saying goodness and mercy shall follow me I had this question, why doesn't he say, shall lead me and go ahead of me? And he said, surely goodness and mercy, the goodness and mercy of God following me. So I got the same picture that maybe because it's things in our past that would creep up like enemies and snag us and pull us back, God surrounds us with his goodness and mercy to shield us from the enemies of the past. I like that. That's good of God, isn't it, to surround us with his goodness and mercy to keep us from the enemies that might be on our tail to try to drag us back. So we have that wonderful blessing, and we're circled around with God's goodness. Okay, the second scripture we'd like to look at is in Luke chapter 4, verse 8. This is the temptation of Christ in the wilderness when the devil tempted him. Luke 4, verse 8. What direction are we facing? Well, Luke 4, 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, the devil, get thee behind me. And here we can see the devil's plan was to trap Jesus. And part of his plan was to trap Jesus with his eyes. And the verses prior to that, he was saying, look at me, face me, worship me, look, look, look. That's often the way the devil works, trying to trap your eyes. Jesus said, get behind me. And so what direction are we facing? And when we think of the important things that we put in front of us, what's in front of you, you look at and you absorb it. And it can affect you. It can affect you. And so one of the devil's tricks is to trap your eyes and say, look, look, look. Isn't that true today? Wrong use of cell phones, books, magazines, all kinds of stuff. Look, look. Because if you look, you absorb it and you can get trapped with your eyes. What direction are you facing? Let's be careful what direction we face. And a verse in Psalm 119 that I think is really great. Let's turn to Psalm 119:37. Really helps us in what direction we face. Psalm 119, verse 37. Psalm 119:37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, quicken thou me in thy way. Turn my eyes away. We're so surrounded by evil things, so surrounded by bad things, so surrounded by the devil saying, look, look, look. Here it says, turn away mine eyes. You know, God has designed us that we can do that. I'm thrilled how God has designed our bodies. Your eyes are on swivels. You can turn them. And keep this truth of this verse. Your head even has a swivel. You can turn your whole head away. So you can fulfill this commandment. Turn away mine eyes from beholding evil. And God even made little flaps on your eye. You can close it if it gets too bad. Isn't it wonderful how God has provided that we can turn away from all evil and look the other way? What direction are you facing? Let's follow this scripture and turn away from bad things. I have for many years learned to turn away. And if you see something up ahead, I even put my hand up over my eye and I do not look. I say no. Sometimes I say no out loud. If I'm walking down the sidewalk in town, quite often, even if I meet someone who's not appropriately dressed, I put up my hand. I think if they're bold enough to be that way, I'm bold enough to hold up my hand over my eye. Sometimes I say no out loud. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. What you look at, you absorb, and that's the trap of the devil to get you to look, think, lust, absorb, and fall in sin. Oh, help us, Lord, and he will. And so another verse here in Psalms is Psalm 101. Please turn to that, verse 3. Psalm 101, verse 3. Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I like this word set. This is a choice. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. It's a choice that you will set no wicked thing. Now, some people sometimes challenge you and say the Bible's out of date, and where does it say in the Bible this or that or whatever? They might say, where in the Bible does it say that we shouldn't have TV? This verse, Psalm 103, verse 1 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That answers that question. And in many other ways too. Thus, be careful what we look at, because the devil's trying to use our eyes to trap us. And so we stop whatever on your phone, on the newspapers, wherever. Be careful what you look at. Turn away. Hold your hand over your eye. Say no. Don't do it. Don't look. What you see will influence you. Psalm 16, verse 8, along the same line. I love it. Psalm 16, verse 8. Here the word set is used again. Here again is a strong suggestion that it's a choice that we make. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is my right hand. I shall not be moved. A choice here. I have set the Lord before me. And it says he's at my right hand, and it kind of gives you the picture. The Lord stands at our side, waiting to see what we're going to do with him. And we take him and set him in front of us. A choice. So let's remember that every day this week, friends. Let's set the Lord. He's with us. That's one thought, and that's good. That's wonderful. That's sweet. But let us take the Lord and set him before us. Remember all week, what direction are you facing? In the direction of God. Set the Lord before you. Be absorbed by him and his great power. Devil saying, look, 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 trying to trap your eyes, trying to grab you with all kinds of fantastic things. The Lord God Almighty is the most fantastic thing on earth. We can look to him, set him before us, and then he ends up saying, I shall not be moved, or I'll paraphrase that tonight, I shall not be trapped. Let us look to the Lord and set him before us. Constantly. Make it a daily exercise. Get up in the morning, set the Lord before you, and look to him. Face that direction all day. Number three, turn to Philippians 4, verse 13. It's a verse that gives us great courage, even if you've had failures in your life. Philippians 4:13 will help you have courage. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's very positive, very upbuilding, very encouraging, helps us to grow in the Lord and grow in leaning on the Lord. I can do all things through Christ. I can is very positive, bright. It's like the lights go on and it's upbuilding and strengthening. There's a big difference between I can or I can't. A big difference. Now, there are a lot of I can'ts that are very real. I can is joyful and strengthening. I can is defeating and dark. I wrote down a list of possible I can'ts. They are very real sometimes. So which way do you face? Sometimes people say, I can't get my work all done, and that can be true enough. Or I can't pay my bills, and that can be true. But from here on, be careful. I can't handle the stress. I can't overcome sin. I can't stop myself from doing this, this, and this. I can't stay on top. I can't control my desires. I can't give in. Now, those are scary, devastating. These can be real. What can you do about it if you're trapped in some of those I can'ts? About 40 years ago, a young teenage boy came to me from the church. He was very discouraged, and he came to ask for prayer and encouragement. He'd had a lot of failures in his life, and as he told me about it, my heart really went out to him. And I thought of this verse. I'll call him George. George was sitting on our couch. Big man, young man. His feet were out on the floor like this. And so I got a black felt tip marker, and I sat down in front of George, and I said, give me your foot. So on the one bottom of the one shoe, I wrote, I can. And then I picked up his other foot, and I wrote, through Christ. Now I said, George, when you go out the door, remember, I can through Christ. I can through Christ. Go through your day. Don't hop on one foot. Go through your day. I can through Christ. I can through Christ. I can is I'll put forth my effort through Christ with Christ's help. I can means I will have courage and enthusiasm through Christ. I can means I'll give it my very best. I'll keep my courage. I'll keep trying through Christ with Christ's help. And I watched out the window as George walked to his car, and I could detect pretty much his firm steps. I can. Christ. It did me a lot of good. That's helped me a lot too. And I hope that can help you. Keep your courage if you have failed and have had failures. Which direction are you facing? I can through Christ. Oh, it's amazing what Christ can do to help us when we face Him, lean on Him, trust Him, at the same time put forth all the effort we can, all the enthusiasm in our own hearts, all the encouragement we can lean on the Lord, and with His help we can through Christ. And that'll blot out a lot of your I can'ts and help you overcome sin and evil and wickedness and live for Jesus. What a blessing. Number four, let's turn to Philippians 4, verse 8. Very close here to the same scripture. Now, these are positive things, a list of bright things that I would suggest that you should look on the bright side in your home, in your church, your school, and at your job. And as I read through Philippians 4, verse 8, see how you can incorporate looking on the bright side in home, church, school, and job. Philippians 4, 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those are a list of positive blessings. So in your home, church, school, and job, look for the positive things. Look on the bright side. I made a little list of things, the suggestions here, to help strengthen you and bind you closer together and get the job done better in your home, church, school, and job. Look on the bright side. See things to appreciate. Look for things to be thankful for. Be glad for each improvement. Express your appreciation. And be thankful for each one, each person involved. Be positive. Be upbuilding. Give encouragement. That can help a lot. It can help strengthen the unit of home, church, school, job. And it just seems like sometimes people are so negative. Sometimes people all just see the bad side of everything. And sometimes people are always critical and always fault-finding. And I think it's a rot. I think it's a rot. Surely there are difficulties. We know there's problems. And they can all be corrected, and it helps if the atmosphere is positive and upbuilding. Thankful and appreciation, and helps you to be easier to live with if you're a positive person. And that in itself is a good start at your home or your church or your school. If you're easy to live with, that's a good start. And if you're a positive, thankful, upbuilding person, you'll be easier to live with. Well, bless the Lord. So anyway, what direction are you facing? I think Philippians 4:8 helps us face in the right direction, gives us courage, spreads an atmosphere that is more constructive, and more good can come from it. Your attitude is contagious. If you're looking east, if you're standing there looking east, pretty soon everybody else is going to be looking east to see what you're looking at. If you're thankful, pretty soon you trigger other thankfulness. It works. It helps. Turn to the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 13. Just look at a verse here where the 12 spies had gone to spy out the new country and they came back home. Two of them were positive and 10 of them were negative. Numbers 13. Brief look here at verse 32. Here again, what did they look at? Which direction did they face? Numbers 13, 32, the last part of it here, these 10 spies, the negative ones, said all the people that we saw, they were looking the wrong direction. All the people we saw were men of great stature, and there we saw the giants, hopeless, in other words. That's the direction they were facing. Joshua and Caleb were facing the other direction. They were facing the other direction. Joshua and Caleb saw the land that God had promised them. They saw that this was God's will. And they saw the big bunches of grapes. And they said, we are able, with the help of God, to possess this land where he's commanded us to go. It was the command of God, the design of God, the land of God for them. God would help them. And so Joshua and Caleb were looking that direction. The 10 spies were looking the other direction. They said, we can't do it. It's too awful. The thing that often amazes me is that the negative influence of the 10 swept through the whole bunch. Like I said, your attitude is so contagious. And so everybody was influenced by the negative attitude, and it brought a lot of problems. They had more influence in the negative. And why is that? And it's that way today sometimes too, that the negative sweeps the whole crowd. But let's be remembering that we can be positive, and that can affect our home and school and church and job. Remember the list in Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true and positive and good and pure and holy and upbuilding, think on those things. Fill our minds with that positive attitude. See, that was number 4. Okay, number 5. Let us turn to Ephesians 4:27. Ephesians 4:27. This is about what direction are you facing? Give God the room, not the devil. Philippians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. I think this means don't give the devil honor. Don't give the devil glory. Don't give the devil praise. Don't give him any room or space in any situation you're in. So too often when people talk about the devil and all the bad things he's doing and his great power and stuff, they're giving him place. They're giving him room. They're giving him glory and honor. It doesn't. Don't do that. I remember years ago having a week of revival meetings. We stayed in the home of one of the members of the church. I'll call him Bobby. And when the meetings were over on Monday morning, we were ready to leave for home. And Bobby said, thanks for coming. Appreciate the week. But he said, I know the devil's going to give me a hard time this week. I said, Bobby, don't say that. And he said, yeah, but it's always that way. And I said, you're opening the door for the devil. Don't give the devil any room. And he said, yeah, but we always say that. The devil's going to give us a hard time, and he always does. I said, that's because you opened the door. I said, this week, tell God, face God, look to God, and tell him, thank you for all I grew in and the things I learned this past week. Lord, I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to grow, and I want to go on with you, dear Lord. Help me to have a good week as I walk with you, dear Lord Jesus. I said, tell God that. What direction are you facing? Open the door for God. Open the door for his power, for his glory, for his honor in every situation this coming week. Open the door to God. And let him lead you on and on and on, higher and deeper in the Lord. Face Jesus. Give him the place. Give him the room. Make that an every morning experience where you open your eyes, open your heart to God too. Give him all the room. Give him all the place. Give him your mind. Give him your body, hands, feet, thoughts, everything. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost as a redeemed child of God. He already possesses you. Remind him and remind yourself of that. God, I belong to you this week, this day. Renew, giving God the whole place of your heart and mind and life this day. Turn to also Colossians chapter 1, along this same line here. Colossians 1, tremendously inspiring verses about the greatness of Christ and giving him room. Okay, Colossians 1, I'm going to read from verses 12 through to 20. And as I read, ask the question in your own heart, where in all this is there any room for the devil? Colossians 1. Where in all this is there any room for the devil? Starting at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created for him, by him, and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness of dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Where in all this is there any room for the devil? And the preeminence, verse 18, we've given Jesus all preeminence, given him the whole place, the whole space, the whole room. Yes, ourselves, our hearts, our bodies, our church, our family, our school, we give it all to the Lord. Oh, gracious Lord, take over. Now, instead of focusing on how much damage the devil's been doing, let's think about what all God's been doing. Here's a little list. Focus on this. These facts are true. The church of Christ is growing. There are more Christians in the world than ever before. There are more Bibles being printed every year. There's more Christian literature been printed every year. There are more Christian homes than there have ever been. There are more prayers being prayed than ever before. Focus on that. Jesus Christ said that he will build his church. On this rock, he said, I will build my church. And he is, glory to God. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What direction are you facing? I love the verse in 1 John 4 where it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What direction are you facing? Let's face the great one, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is within us. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Face that direction. One final scripture, Hebrews 12. Verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 talks about looking unto Jesus. What direction are you facing? Let's read verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing, that's looking, isn't it? Yes, it is. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us look unto Jesus and be strengthened by his power and glorious might. Then it says, lay aside, in verse 1, lay aside every weight. I studied on that one for a while. Every weight. What's heavy in your life? Is there something pressing you down? Is there something that you find a heavy burden to bear? I was thinking if there'd be some way of tabulating or calculating. We went down the aisle and back and forth in the rows, and we continued to add up all the weights. You give your weight, you give your concern, thing you're worrying about. I wonder how many tons of weights we'd come up with here tonight if each of you unloaded on this imaginary scale. Now, there are some weights that are legitimate. And I was saying to Elizabeth the other day that even in my own mind, I'm often trying to discern between what is a constructive concern as opposed to what is a destructive worry. There's a difference. The difference between a constructive concern and a destructive worry. If you're parents tonight, you have a concern for your family to raise them for the Lord. That's constructive. The concern weighs heavily on your heart, but it helps you to do the right thing. It helps you to correct your children. It helps you to train them. It helps you to teach them properly. If you didn't have any concern, you didn't care a bit, you wouldn't do any good. If you're going to have devotions at church, that weighs kind of heavy. If you're going to have a sermon, it's kind of a heavy thing, but it helps you to pray, it helps you prepare, it helps you to trust the Lord, and it helps you to do a good job because you have a constructive concern. However, if you have a destructive worry, it helps you to do a worse job. If you just worry about something, then you end up not doing a very good job either. So there's quite a difference here. And I think the weights that are here, lay aside every weight. The constructive ones, let's take to the Lord and get help with them so we can have good devotions and raise our children the way we ought to, yes. But then the destructive worries, let's lay those aside and say, no, I won't worry about that. I will trust the Lord instead. And that's how I looked at it. And then we can feel lifted and get strength to go through the day. Then the other thing it mentions here, lay aside the sin that's so easily beset. The sin that besets, lay that aside, yes, for sure. And get victory over that sin. Do you have a struggle? Is it something that bothers you and keeps hanging on? Like besetting sin is probably describes something that clings to you and something that you shake and shake but can't get rid of and have tried to overcome and haven't been able to. Is that a besetting sin that you're struggling with? And overwhelming, overpowering, over and over, you know it's wrong and yet you do it again. Is that what's happening? That's a besetting sin. It says lay it aside. And look unto Jesus. Is that too simple? That's the answer. And so this is a theory we have, and we know that. Lay aside your sin by looking unto Jesus. But I'm praying for a mighty power of God that your heart can be open to a fresh look at Jesus, to a deeper look at Jesus, to a greater understanding of the power of his blood, to overcome sin and cleanse it out of your heart. There's bad desires that people have that drag them back into sin. But let's believe tonight in the overpowering good blood of Jesus to cleanse your heart from those desires that you don't even want it anymore. Or like I said this morning, that you realize how painfully evil it is in the sight of God and helps you to hate it so much that you get rid of it. Renounce it. Name it. Renounce it. Hate it. There's a point here where God will help you lay it aside and you can be cleansed and overcome and have the victory. I assure you tonight that any besetting sin that you've been struggling with can be overcome by the power and help of Jesus, by the promises of the Word, by the blessed help of the Holy Ghost. So take courage, rise up and lay it aside and look unto Jesus. So we must learn to take a new look at Jesus. We must learn to take a fresh look at Jesus. We must learn to take a closer look at Jesus and apply what Jesus can do to our hearts that we may be living in victory and purity. One closing, I said that was the final point, but there's a closing verse I'd like to look at in Psalm 14, verse 2. Psalm 14, verse 2. Psalm 14, verse 2. What direction are you facing? Well, what direction is God facing? Here it says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." The Lord is looking down from heaven to see whether or not we're looking up. The Lord is looking in our direction to see whether or not we're looking in His direction. God has feelings. Think how God feels when He looks down. If you're looking at evil, think how God feels. What direction are you facing? And God will think, well, why isn't he looking at me? Let's make God happy tonight by seeking Him and looking to Him. Here it says God is looking down to see whether or not anyone is seeking Him. I like that word, seek. Seek is when you look with all your might. You really look when you're seeking something. Let's seek God tonight in a new way. Remember this week, what direction are you facing? Remember to seek God with all your heart. Find His help in a greater way and give Him glory and honor and thanks, for He is worthy. Let us kneel in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. We look to You. We turn our hearts to You and our attention to You. Oh, thank You for being such a loving God, such a wonderfully powerful God. Oh, we thank You tonight for all You've done to help us, and we continue to lean on You for help in the future. We do need You, Lord. We trust in You and lean on You. Give You praise tonight for all You've done here in this congregation, for the many answers to prayer that we've noticed in the last 7 years. Continue to answer their prayers as they look to You. Help them to keep growing in the Lord and a closer relationship with Jesus. Help them to, God, be filled with Your mighty power and filled with the Holy Ghost, oh God. Pray Your blessing on the leaders, the ordained men, Lord. I pray that You would bless them as they bring the word, and I pray You'll anoint the preaching of the word and help them, God Almighty, oh Lord. And help each person here, Lord, young and old. I pray that You help everyone to be tender to Your voice and to remember what direction are they facing, and through this coming week, especially, God Almighty, help them, Lord, to put into practice everything that they learn at church, Lord, and what they read in their Bibles, to live it out and find the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the blood of Jesus to help them to overcome sin, that they can live in purity and holiness. Help us all. Thank You for the privilege of being together, and continue to give You glory and honor through Christ our Lord. Amen.